This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes on Cliff Central. I'm Shemaine Harris. As always, pleasure to be here. And so glad that you decided to shift in with us today. Hope you get something out of this. I believe you would. Now, on controls today is Simpiwe Mtetwa. Hey, baby.
Hey, Zimpiwe, how you doing? And she just waves at us, never wants to speak that one. Of course, I'm Liesl Tom. Hey, Shemaine, how you doing?
As always, cooking.
It's such fun to do the show, and I have to say, we always have such interesting guests. Now, today we have someone we've interviewed before, Booker de Tooy. Booker, we are speaking about cycles today and consciousness and all kinds of things that I have absolutely no idea about. So tell me, when we talk about cycles, what are we referring to?
Cosmic cycles and how that resonates on Earth and how that affects us. And reviving that knowledge of an ancient lot.
Yeah, of course, Booker is a scholar of ancient wisdom. He has studied with traditional healers. He's been making a study of caves, and he does all kinds of interesting things, as we told you the last time he was on here. When you say these cycles, are you talking about the age of Aquarius that we are into now?
Well, yeah, that is an aspect of it, but it goes much broader. There are many cycles. I think firstly to give a bit of a context with cycles is, or where my story started. Mm-hmm. I lived for a long time in the Tsitsikamma region. And that is one of the sites where the first Homo sapiens, the modern, anatomically modern people emerged. Beautiful cave, like an elephant's eye that sits right on the coast. So, magical site.
Okay, so is that that discrepancy been sorted now that it was here in South Africa? Or that, you know?
Well, I don't think anything is sorted. I think it's more controversial and contested than ever before now. And I think the whole scientific, mm-hmm. especially the archaeological side, in terms of our social landscaping and our existences, is not sorted. But this is a line. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they have come up with anything else that predates that yet.
Okay.
But the story is that the first anatomically modern people emerged there sort of 200,000 years ago and then disappeared. And three of these sites in South Africa. There are more claims coming now as they're digging deep in other places of the world of anatomically modern people that go to 800,000 years ago.
Mm.
Great controversies, great uncertainties. I think that whole field is being reinvestigated, relooked, and that old narrative of our human development, that linear line from primitive to modern, is completely challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Too many anomalies, too many things that just doesn't fit that old storyline.
How do you see it?
It's a complex field, and it's a complex terrain of how different species coexisted. But I think it's in terms of the cyclic consciousness, understanding that we evolve and devolve, and that there are great cataclysms on a regular basis on the earth,
mm-hmm.
that reshapes the landmass and the cultures and the people. And then there's a reemergence of a group of people that some way has survived, and that then sparks off a whole new field again.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. So basically, if I can, I don't know that I can do this, but I'm going to try and simplify it. At some point, you know, things have to shift so much so that only a few people, you know, get to progress, and then it's a new civilization starting. So it's almost like the survival of the fittest. So, or not.
Fittest, maybe, but I think also the chosen ones. You know, I think if you look at, if you study the cataclysms, but first, in the cyclic consciousness, what it is that this wipeout, this cataclysms that happen with fire and water and different elements, the last one was 13,000 years ago, mm-hmm. where the, and it's now known and accepted, that the earth was covered in dust for 1,200 years.
See, you know that. I don't know that. That's a first for me.
Yeah. No, that's not quite established.
Oh, no. Please, just for our listeners and people like me for who this is new information, do you want to just go in on that for a minute or so?
But I think to explain that cataclysm, let's just look at this big cycle that we're becoming aware of, because that's the halfway mark and the full mark of that cycle. Firstly, just quickly to recap, the cyclic consciousness, everything in nature is cyclic. There's mm-hmm. beginning, a maturity, and a death. Okay. Everything. Firstly, our daily cycles, which we're all conscious of. Sun rises, the day, 24 hours, 12 hours day, 12 hours night. Mm-hmm. And then the next cycle is the winter, summer, the 12 months, okay. the 6 months, mm. summer, 6 months, winter.
6 months?
Well,
more or less.
There's fall and crossover periods, but basically it's a winter and summer. You can call the fall and the spring, but that introduces the other phase. That's
all right.
Just, I think, nature's nice way of nothing uh-huh. happens suddenly. There's okay. a slow transition to
easing,
a new phase.
Easing
it in. Yeah.
So birth, yes, growth, yeah. or death. Okay. But
that's the Holy Trinity, by the way, I think.
Oh.
Okay, so we're conscious of these cycles because in our lifetime, in this body, you know, we experience that and we see that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the
in this body, you experience it a lot of times.
I think so, no doubt about that. No doubt. But so these are the cycles we know. And studying all the great ancient temples around the world, Göbekli Tepe, the pyramids, hundreds of them, they were all aligned to measure cosmic movement, which we've never really understood. Quite complex sky watches that measured these things. And I think 500 years ago, Hipparchus, the Greek philosopher, said that he had discovered this big cycle, the Platonic year, the Plato year, which is basically our solar system rotates around the center of the galaxy. That's the next bigger cycle. Hmm. And this takes 26,000 years from beginning to end.
And where are we now?
We've just finished.
The 26,000.
The 26,000. But now, the 26 has a day and a night as well. And this is what the ancient Greeks called Empedocles, the great, great philosopher, said love and fear, metaphorically.
All right.
So for 13,000 years, we inhale, we ascend
mm-hmm.
Around that center.
And when you say ascend, can you just be a little more broader in that term, with that term?
With the what?
The ascension.
What do you mean when you say
okay, it's up and down. It's like sun rising and sun setting, those
okay.
two phases.
I hear what you're saying, but in terms of what it does, what does that up mean for us?
Okay,
what
yeah.
does that down mean for
the
us?
The up, fear. That's what they associate it with, fear.
Oh,
and the down, the relax, the out, is love, metaphorically.
Okay.
And he quite wrote volumes about the two sides of life, of what we experience. And they called it, the Egyptians, and even transferred into the Romans, this is what we experience. This is a soul cycle. Mm. And that was the understanding was that our souls come onto this plane of existence to experience both the love and the fear of the cycles. But just before we go too much into that, let's just look at the next cycle.
Mm-hmm. I want to keep that soul cycle alive because I really need to find out.
We'll come back to it. We've made a note.
But
we both made them.
Yes, I see you writing. Okay. Booker, you said we've come to the end of one. What?
We've completed that full cycle. This is what, you know, I think a lot of hoo-ha was made about the 2012, the Mayan calendar.
And the age of Aquarius.
Well, this is now a precession. This 26,000 years is a precession through the 12 constellations.
Yes.
And this is the ancient wisdom. It's only the last 500 or so years that we have lost our cosmic connection. All the ancient cultures, this was the primary revelatory experience, is understanding and working with the cycle, the cosmic clock. Mm. Not the hourly clock, not the daily clock, but the great cosmic soul clock. This is why it's a soul cycle to them. And where, and their worldview, I mean, life is not terminal. It doesn't end with physical death. It just continues
that.
The cycle.
Life is not terminal.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, so once you come into the cyclic notion and understand this is where you start seeing and understanding, feeling rather, that it is not terminal, it doesn't terminate after that. But that's a journey for oneself. That's a level that you do not tell, or you, this is something that you appreciate, feel, it resonates with you, and this is how it goes.
Or as a journey you don't want to think about, because it just boggles the mind to think that you're going to go on and on and on, possibly in different, you know, well, not possibly, probably, in different aspects. But can you imagine, you know, the journey continues. And for an earthling, which I am right now, it is kind of like, no, I am tired. You know, so the concept for my mind is just like, no. So I totally, totally, when I think of how life continues and how big it is and how
untouchable,
yes, you know, that information is, it boggles the mind. I have another word in my head, but that goes into swearing, but it boggles the mind.
Well, I think this takes it to that level of consciousness. Mm. And that there's such new understandings now of what is consciousness, you know. It's this field, this archaic field. And that consciousness prompts matter. In other words, there's that spirit or that consciousness that is eternal, that exists, that energy of yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's indestructible. Like we know, energy does not destroy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that, and it's now coming to understand what is this field that we have that then manifests a body.
How did you get to the point where you went, okay, I'm making peace with this, and I can actually assimilate that information, considering that we are very limited vessels in terms of what we can hold. But some beings are, they just transcend it, and they're just going like, yes, I get it. How did you do it?
You know, it is a longer journey for me. I will get back to the cycle that I was explaining now, mm-hmm. but just that journey there, I was fortunate. I journeyed for many years with one of the last Khoi San, the Khoi Khoi, the Kun healers,
mm-hmm.
in that Tsitsikamma region. And he introduced me to something I call ritual landscapes. And this is where I'm a logical, rational thinking person. I have that aspect.
You look it.
But also...
he does, doesn't he? I look at you and I go like, yes, rational. That's just the way I...
Well, it certainly is one aspect, thank you.
Okay.
It's one side is there, but it doesn't dominate it. I'm trying to find balance between that and the other.
Mm.
But so he took me to these incredible sites, like the moon caves. And I recorded all his wisdom, all his understandings. The moon caves, for example, is where the women go, and they synchronize their own menstrual cycles with the moon. Very natural. And they go through a whole 28-day phase, and every one day has a value. In fact, in this moon caves, there's a little stone bowl there, carved out of the rock, with 28 round little rocks in there. And all the images painted in there are women, elongated, elegantly, you know, stretched like that.
Mm-hmm.
The moon is, the cave is orientated towards that radical, that moon path, from full moon to new moon. So it has that full vantage point. And these images are done in red ochre, which is the blood.
Mm.
And this is where they then synchronize their cycles. So coming to understand that experience, and especially in the Khoi San way of ritual, of taking the body and doing this action. And it's not about the action, it's about the greater value of that there. but using the body, but separating also at that transitional stages like into adulthood, body and that energy or spirit or soul or whatever we'd like to call that. But then through that process, integrate that, but celebrate both, the one of being in the cave, sitting there with the art there, with the stones there, with the whole menstrual process happening. The other one is connecting to that higher, other dimension, which is not seen, which is not shown on the walls or on the caves there. That intimate, other, higher space. And I got it there. I just got it right there. And it went to various other caves where there's a real physical location. But it's not about the location or the images painted there, which are very abstract. It is about transporting yourself and allowing yourself to go beyond this little body on earth. Here I am. Mm-hmm. And this is what I understand as this consciousness field.
I think therein lies is allowing oneself. Eh? I wanted to ask you, Liesl, have you ever heard of women going and... because this sounded like a conscious thing. Aligning their periods with the moon.
Yes, synchronizing their periods. I've never heard of people doing it consciously. I know that, you know, when women live together in a, let's say, in a commune or in a house, their periods do tend to synchronize. But I've never heard of anyone doing it consciously and of everybody doing it together to synchronize with the moon. I've heard that if you are in balance and if you are synchronized with the cycles, that your period happens during the dark moon, but that's the extent of what I know about it.
Okay, I haven't got all that knowledge, but I know when that moon is out there, I'm there. So
let me give you another experience there. They use the same cave to extract aggression out of the woman's body.
Can you tell us how?
We got a lot of aggression running around here.
Well, fascinating. It's fascinating because it goes over a 3-4 day period, this extraction. And it starts firstly by getting a group of women, and it's strangely always a group of seven. And I understand the seven is our conscious level. We observe seven colors. We are seven octaves.
7 days of the week.
7 days of the week. There's some link, but there are seven involved. And I think they select them as well for different types of people. So you have a whole mix. And over a 3 day period, it starts with a drumbeat, which is doof, 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 which is a heartbeat, which is a movement, a circular movement. Now it's like the seven planets rotating around a fire, which is the sun. Very cosmic, you know. So my mind sees that. They don't explain that. Look at it. This is a fire there. This is the seven planets around. This is how we move in that same order as the planets. They even place them further apart. It's not in a straight line. So there's a higher understanding of that. But it's not said. It's not explicit. If you see it, great. If you don't see it, great. So they synchronize them, and this goes on for hours. It gets into a higher state, that circular movement, that drum beat, that collectiveness of the seven, the fire, dying, reloaded again, more wood, higher, bigger fire, dies down as the sun sets. All these subtle images, you know, that it's not spoken about. If you don't see it, you're not initiated into that. That's okay. See what you see. What your consciousness allows you. It's not but expanded. I see all the symbol. Then they are smeared. They are taken down to the river, completely washed. And then they have the clay that they then pack on their bodies for confinement. But before they pack the clay on, they smear them with plant sap, with the aloe. It's like a plasma. And then they are covered with clay and they're confined for a day. For a full 24-hour cycle, day-night cycle, that confinement, internalizing the body heat, which is also their energy. It's just all that sticks out are their eyes and their nose.
Can you eat or
that's
drink
the breathing.
During that
Nothing.
Time?
24 hours, you are completely removed. You're no like a mouth. Mummy lying there.
No per mouth, yes.
And then the old wise woman plays the drum. But she plays the rythms, different rhythms, different energy frequencies, different levels, different volumes, which is a knowledge all in its own. I recorded and I've been re-listening to that to understand that, because this is the kind of wisdom that this old woman does not give out in a way. This is her attunement, this is how she relates to it and how she worked with her people. But somehow I feel that the clay is quite a thick coverage, like 2 inches thick. It's really a confinement. Mm. And I think that in itself is quite an experience, to force yourself into that complete stillness, that physical restraint, that body lying like that, and where that then allows the mind to go. And that's where she then starts working with that consciousness, that field of yours. And she deals with that. Then there is a bloodletting. They see that as important. And I've got to explain that bloodletting is, they select the animal. The animal has to agree. Mm-hmm. I've seen them go to many.
I think when you say the animal has to agree, you also need to expand a little bit on that, transaction between hunter and initiate and offering.
Right. Firstly, it's a domesticated animal they're talking about. It could range anything from fowl to goat to cattle. So there's something that is part of their homestead, part mm-hmm. of that, that carries that family energy in the animal realm. It's not a hunting, it's not an expedition going out. And the healer would speak to the animal in the presence of all. And there are certain symbols or signs or movement or appearances of an eagle or something that gives the indication, yes, I am willing. And I've seen them go to 10, 12 different animals. Convenient, the right price. Right there, don't have to transport, right? No, animal is not willing. Mm. And every part of the animal is used. Every part. Certain groups only eat these parts of the meat. It's not a full feast for all. It's a sacred energy, and it's about the blood flowing in that activates that energy of the ancestors who participate in this. That's another field to talk about. But so this is how when the breakout of the clay comes and the aloe sap, that is where the release comes. But it's done with a lot of talking. It's not just out in the air. She explains. It is with intention, with purpose, with the vibration of sound. Water is used over and over again. It's actually thrown into the cast, into this mold on the chest level. We know what, the information that water carries today. We understand that now.
Well, you're assuming that we know what you're talking about.
Or the person listening, because...
Well, I think Omoto has done a lot how our energy, our vibration restructures the composition of water under microscopic level, completely restructures it.
But still, we know about it, but can you explain it to our listener?
Well, there's always been this old link with water. Water goes, runs through all, cycle through time from the very beginnings right through to baptism. Why water? What is that higher value of the water? And this is all about the higher values. What does it carry? And the higher understanding is the water carries the information from the heavens, or more specifically, the cosmic energies, which is what we are talking about. It's just that link to the higher knowledge has been lost, and it's a recovery of that. What is this? It's not just some airy fairy out there where water carries it.
Also, the element of water is supposed to represent emotion.
Indeed.
So if they pour the water into the cask, they reconnect the person with cosmic emotion.
Indeed.
Do I get a star? Yeah, am I clever?
Absolutely. Water, you can condition it for the emotional aspects, which is, I think, what we commonly associate it with, or for information, or to retrieve, because the knowledge is kept in that. A drop of water can carry as much information as a computer nowadays. Mm. We understand that.
That is actually mind-blowing.
It's total.
So they understood the value of water and that it carries information. You can condition it. Mm. And it connects then that cosmic forces, that resonances of that, and it transfers it onto the skin into the system. Mm. So again, it's a physical thing, higher value, but a physical enactment. And it's something you can touch and feel and see. Mm. And it goes in. And that does its work. But the water is conditioned. It's not just any water. The water is drummed. That vibration, you can physically see that drumming when it happens, that vibration of the water, that restructure. And the information is given to the water, and the water then transfers it into the higher, into the subconscious levels of the patient, or the one they're extracting the aggression out of. And I mean, they're dealing with aggression all levels, verbal, emotional, physical, sexual, complete. But this is how the women deal with it, amongst themselves. No man is allowed there. So I couldn't sit there. I had to go away every now and then. I understand that, but holding space at a distance. Same way that the boys still do the initiation. They hold space for the woman, for the girl. They're not participating directly there, but they sit further away and they keep that space.
Yeah, I have to say, because this sound, this practice to extract the anger, it does sound like an initiation.
Yeah.
So what is the value of initiations and rites of passage in cycles such as the cycles you are studying?
It's important, as you said, we are earthlings. We have a body. We have a survival mode. We have a rational side to it. We have an understanding. We vibrate in a daily frequency where we've got to see things and relate to it, understand it, use it, live. But when we transit into another state of being, be it into an adulthood or into a marriage or into death or into birth, that has to be marked. And this is where the physical, a ritual comes in. A ritual, and we so often looked at just the banal aspects, you know, believe and I see in that, not the higher value. This is just to get the body to help condition it and to prepare it and to give it the information for that transition, which makes a cutoff point, a clear cutoff point in your mind, in your being, from an old state into a new state. So this is the same that applies with healing. It's a process, it's going into it, owning that pain or the transgression or the inflicted the pain, the reason for why they come to extract the source of that, going fully into that, emerging right into it, into the scream of that, into the horror, into the full detail of it, in order for it to be released. It's like a pimple going out, boom, there it is, look how ugly, right there on your face, see it, horrible, terrible, right, out. It's just that action for the body, and it helps that conditioning. It helps the body, our connection in our own bodies to our subconscious mind, that physical act and that determination and that will and that belief. Belief which is just carried through all, cycled again through. Belief is powerful.
So how does it manifest that? Because it sounds like you're saying it's a growth, so it's a shift. How does it manifest right now, or how is it starting to manifest the fact that we're getting these proverbial pimples out, these boils out? You know, how are we growing? What are you seeing is happening in the world today?
Well, we haven't got to this other big cycles yet, but let's stick with that one there. There is indeed a major shift energetically that has happened to the earth itself as a living organism. And that is being transferred onto us as people. There is a shift. Everything, as I said, is subject to birth, expansion, decay.
Did we choose
and
this?
Our minds.
Did we choose this, or is this just that just happens, whether you like it or not?
This is a cycle. This is nature.
All right.
This is what was given. How we operate within that is where the choices come in.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to clarify, is it not that we chose to come in during this transition time? We do have some choice here, the way I see it.
No, we choose. I think as we choose our parents, as we choose
yes.
the era that we're coming in.
Oh, speak to the families who don't believe that they chose their parents and their children.
Well, this is where, you know, the things that you sometimes dislike, this is what you chose. There's nothing like a victim on this earth. Mm-hmm. There are only volunteers. We have volunteered, we have selected that. And this is why that family bond is so critical, especially in Africa or with all the indigenous peoples, and also being revived all over, not just the indigenous or the older cultures, is that family value, of course, our lessons, our biggest issues lie within that family framework. Mm. That's where we need to deal. Mm. This is where we are reflected. This is what we chose. We've got to face those families, those people. Though we are bound by that love frequency that allows us or keeps us in a way connected, that we cannot, like a partner, divorce, thank you, and goodbye. Mm. The family is just back there. And if it's not that one, it's the other one. And they're all related. So they bring those issues back to you until you've dealt with that one.
But now back to the shifting and the manifesting of, you know, what should we expect? How are we changing?
Well, firstly, just quickly, how are we changing the macro framework, this natural framework, what it's done? We have come through 13,000 years of fear,
Is it over now?
The fear is over.
Thank goodness.
But nothing is instant, you know, it's like spring.
So we're going into spring.
You see a flower, emerging and emerging, and eventually it's the entire field that's full. Yes. So the flowers we're starting to see, and it is a transition into from the great fear cycle into the fear of scarcity. It is competition. It is all of that that manifests with fear. But that is part of life as well. It's not right or wrong or positive or negative. It's balance and imbalance and balance and imbalance. And that's the complete play that goes on. So one celebrates the fear and you celebrate the love. But the transition is into that. But interesting, so 13,000 years ago, where our history today actually started, where we stand, out of this fear, moving out, but it's 12 sections of that are the 12 constellations. Now don't confuse the constellations with your ordinary horoscope stuff, you know, that you read in the newspapers. These are the greater cosmic forces of a completely different magnitude. It's not a daily thing. This is a big cycle. Every age has about a 2,200-year period in that. So we are precessing through 12 different ages. We clearly know it with the Leo and all the other previous ages and how they describe ages. This last 12th of the second that's seeing us over from the sphere cycle into the love is this move from the Piscean into the Aquarian. Just briefly, Piscean, and not just now, it's been described as technology, advancement, following, belief. Also the patriarch features in that Piscean cycle. This is where we are shifting into the smaller 12th cycle to slowly introduce this love cycle that we are moving in, the Aquarian age, which is brotherhood, that compassion, that caring, and the feminine. And feminine not only in the sexual way of male-female, but it's the feminine energy, that nurturing, that caring, that concern, that mothering, that deeper understanding to move us out of this very rational, harsh male. And what bouncing male-female here, but we all have both energies, but that masculine energy of control, following, that rigid framework, which was needed in its own way. It's not that, it's part of the whole function. So this feminine is introducing that, facilitating that. And it's about finding that feminine, especially for us males within, to help us transit into this whole bigger 13,000-year phase of love. So it is a whole walk from that mind to the heart, which is the longest journey anyone can undertake in any case.
And how is it manifesting in, you know, that space that you're talking about, that I feel space, that nurturing space, that I'm in touch with, being okay to cry, because I don't know about you, Liesl or you, Booker, but they, it's like there's a sense of emotional, the emotional in-touchness, for lack of a better word, is heightening. This, it's like the, there's like, you know what I mean? So everything is heightening.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's
heightened.
It's like, but they are more sensitive, heightened sensitive people walking around.
Indeed. But again, as I say, there's this analytical side of mine that says, okay, how does that shift work? I studied the resonances and the whole theory of resonance. So understand that we are shaped. We are electromagnetic in our very design. So we understand how these things influence. But what it happens, the pineal gland, every gland in our body links to a certain planet. Every gland. It's a cosmosis process. Our first cycle from birth, or the gestation at 9 months, is linked to a planetary cycle. You know, everything is corresponds. But what happens is our pineal gland, which they recently only, or I'm beginning to understand now, which has been a great part of the old Eastern philosophies, you know, the third eye. Mm-hmm. But it's an actual gland that sits there. And this gland does exactly like the earth. It expands and it contracts. The pineal gland, we always have known that it regulates your sleep-wake. Mm-hmm. It regulates your aging. So it's a cosmic attunement, that one, to the cycle. And when it expands, it releases more melatonin, which is now a banned substance recently.
Controlled substance.
Controlled, is that, or banned? Oh,
controlled. How can we get it naturally?
Tune in. Drop out. Uh-huh. So our body is releasing more melatonin, which is biochemically affecting us. Both in the physical sense, is that we can no longer consume what we did even 10 years ago. Our digestive systems are, more importantly, our emotional systems. We are becoming more sensitized. We are feeling more. We are sensing more. We're becoming the more godly in that way. We're expanding. And it's happening at different levels to different people. Mm. 20 years ago, when we spoke about this, there might have been 5 people in this entire country that would come to such a
time. Oh, in the world.
No. Yeah. It's, you know.
But when you when you say, we're sorry to interrupt, Booker, but there's just, you know, you hear about more and more food intolerances, and there's the skeptic, the nasty side of me thinks, oh, they're just jumping on the bandwagon. But if I listen to what you're saying, it is in actual fact because our bodies are changing to keep up with this changing in the cycle.
Indeed, indeed. So it's chemically controlled as well. That controls, it's the most powerful substance. It controls so many aspects of, from digestion to the emotional side, to the psychological side. That melatonin is the substance that triggers it in the body. But the side is how we respond. The result of that is becoming sensitized to food intake. Toxic aspects, not only food, but toxic things in your life, relationships, partnerships, work environment, whatever. So we are feeling.
Also yourself, the stuff that you don't want to face about yourself. Oh, because that's the deep
but
seat.
This is the great process of the consciousness away. Awakening, is facing your shadows, that dark side. This is part of this greater cleansing. As we earlier spoke about, we talked about extracting this abuse out of the woman. Mm. This is exactly what is happening at the much bigger scale to humanity. Of course, there's some that are certainly ignorant. It hasn't started happening, or they're not aware of that yet. But it's
faltering. And it's okay,
it's
too.
It's okay, too.
Because that's where their choice lies for now.
Can you think how boring it would be? All of a sudden, the whole field is just full of flowers. But to see one by one and appreciating them, and feeling that volume extending. But it's happening. No one can escape that. And this is what all the ancient teachings is about, with them measuring the cosmic cycles and saying, when this happens, this is when the big shift comes. It's not 2012 when we're going to all die.
Well, you know, 2012, that. You've said before. What's the relevance of the Mayan calendar?
Well, they understood this precessional cycle. Now, to measure that, you know, it's not something you can do just with the eye. So they had some greater knowledge that was, you know, brought forward from previous ages. And this is where this destruction, regeneration, that we understand there was a higher civilization, a higher age civilization, which they're now also beginning to define, and they're calling it Japan, Pan. It's a section of land which they've now identified under the water. That's submerged with that last cataclysm 13,000 years ago when we started the sphere cycle. And they've actually quite now defined genetically, you know, what the people looked like and what the features were. And this is what I'm saying, it's so interesting.
And what did they look like?
Well, they were much smaller. They, you know, we all expected this very tall, elegant race. No, they were much smaller, more like the Japanese, like the sand people. That smaller structure, more gentle, that whole finer refinement. The previous cycle, apparently, they were much taller. That is where that story comes from, much bigger race. But listen, there's something else this is important with the cycle. It's expansion, contraction of the earth. The landmass expands and contracts, the Pangyan, which is accepted. And that is a bigger cycle. That's again the 12, the 120 million years for the landmass to expand as it inhales and
where are we now?
Relax now. We're right at the end of the expansion. The landmass is as far apart as it can get. It's now starting to move over that long cycle back into that unification, into the oneness.
Should the people on the coast leave?
Well, what's interesting is that on every continent, well, four of the continents, the cracks have appeared and salt water is emerging.
Where?
Well, Africa is number one, right up in Ethiopia, down that rift.
Wow.
The Great Valley Rift.
Well, Great Valley Rift. And these cracks, there's salt content in this. So this landmass shifts, expands and contracts like our lungs. Nothing unnatural. It's all linked. It's all part of the same way our body functions. We were talking about the planet. If you take the smallest little particle out of our skin, the subatomic at that level, it has a nucleus. And it has substances linked to it which have different color and different volume. The core of it is embryonic. It's in water, like the Earth. Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturnus, Uranus, Neptunus, and Pluto, that rotate, and that frequencies of that color that it emanates into this embryonic form, the earth, or the soul, or the nucleus, animates it, creates the life. So the whole principle just expands and expands cosmically, at infinitum.
As above, so below,
as
that
above,
principle.
So below.
Vuka, let's get back to soul cycles, because both Jermaine and I made a note and wrote it big here, because that is something that's extremely interesting.
It is.
Say more.
It is. Before I forget, one more cycle that we skipped in between. Hot age, cold age, and this is this whole issue about climate change now, which I think is great.
Global warming.
The warming, but we have a 60 million year hot age and a 60 million year cold age. The hot age, mammalian, cold age, reptilian, cold blood. This is where 60 million years ago the reptilians were destroyed, meteorites, in that bigger cycle, which made way for the mammalian dominion, control, or overtake of the earth.
Oh my goodness.
So we're standing here now where we're crossing over into the Piscean, into the Aquarian, from the fear into the love cycle, from the cold age into the hot age, and from the landmass being as far apart as it can to starting to join over a long period. So how does that affect us? Radically. Radically. It's such a shift. It's like going from steam into ice for us now. This is where nature hasn't maybe I think our souls have been conditioned, and this is where we need to connect to that higher level, because we are becoming sensitive, we are feeling, we are caring. There's such a shift. It's like an evolutionary leap that's actually recognized by the scientists, that a sudden leap, perhaps as sudden as that disappearance of that modern human beings, or the first anatomically modern, into that huge gap, into where all of a sudden there was sophisticated artwork and theories and philosophies and thinking and, you know, happening. These odd, strange gaps are there, but we are there. So the soul cycle, we have started, and we are falling into love, and it's a process. But it's happening much quicker. I mean, this is happening. You know, once you've become aware, this, things are different. I feel different. I relate different. My priorities are shifting. And you're becoming aware of change. I mean, life is about change. We change, our bodies change, our partners change, our homes change. That's how we deal with change. Mm-hmm. That's life. And this is where we, how do we deal with love? How does this manifest? And this is this big consciousness shift. For many people, it's a deeper fall into the more spiritual framework, which is great. This is becoming aware. This is that spirit sort of initiates that whole old animist world of nature, the mother, the giver. So it's a, and it's a, we're becoming conscious of nature all of a sudden. This is why these issues are so bigly out of proportion about climate change and earth and destruction, which is beautiful. It is there, but we are not going to destroy the earth. This is part of a cycle. This is not our doing. And yes, we contribute. But yes, let's look at that.
Well, that's sticking it to some people who are thinking we are destroying.
Oh, yes.
And you know, now you are saying, no, this is not us. This is part of a cycle, you know.
Well, I think I must clear that. This is part of a cycle. I think we are contributing and chasing it.
Okay.
But we are not the cause of that.
Okay.
We are far, we are not that significant. Mm. The earth is far too big. The energy of the earth is just far beyond that there. And she's lived through that many times before. So, but we are contributing and it's good because this is part of our consciousness expanding. It's, look at the waste we are creating. Look at the toxics.
That's really awful.
We are to blame. Yes. Let's keep with that. We are. In a
we need
way,
to be aware of.
But
of
let's be becoming impact. Conscious of everything. Mm. And that is one. And the first level of manifestation, Earth, Mother, our basic customs, our basic life giver. How beautiful. How beautiful. But it's extending. It's going beyond that. Coming much closer to home. Mm. So from that nature, aware of what we are creating, our irresponsible ways, we are bringing it home closer, closer, closer. And we are going into our own toxicness. What have we created in our own lives? Mm. And this is where the dark night of the souls are happening, where we're going into those crevices of everything that you know. It's like a judgment day, in other words, of facing all your shit.
You're talking about the dark night of the soul. It is so beautiful. It sounds sublime. You know, it's accurate and dark. Love it. But
it's really the most horrible place ever.
What does that really mean?
Tell.
How do you see it? How, from your perspective, how would you explain it?
Well, practically, for me, I was going into every action that I've done. It came up for me. Everything that was for me, not judged by other people or what this says or that says, what did not sit right within me. Everything I have done that I've said, everything where I've offended came up for me. Relationships, parents, issues, deviations, distractions, painfulness, where I felt I had created pain, I had offended. For me, I was judging that. That came up. Starkly, right there. You can't drown it with a drug or another sleeping pill of noha valium, of noha did of that. No, this is what you face. You will wake up. If you do any resorty, any other way of drowning this, it'll just come up doubly more.
Vuka, and that is also cyclical, isn't it? Because we have your first, tell me where I'm wrong, but as far as I can recall, your first dark night of the soul is around 27. And then you get another one when, is it when Saturn returns? I'm not so
exactly.
Okay.
Saturn.
Exactly.
So
it leads like a menstrual cycle. It is connected to another cosmic cycle that triggers that resonance that brings that consciousness into the field.
But every time you go through that cycle, it gets easier. As you said, it's speeding up. And I almost get the sense that now this shift is happening faster because of technology, because we've been here before.
Yeah, yeah. And we're open to it. And also,
we are starting
to say yes. Yeah,
yes, we are.
Yeah. We are more open to it. We are exposed to so much information. We our bodies, this is not our first time around here. Mm. It's just recognizing, oh, yes.
I remember. Oh, I love that phrase, that remembering. Oh, don't get me started. Yeah.
But also, you know, it's about raising consciousness. So the more we speak about these things, and this is my view, and there are many other views, and we must make our stories known and openly speak and challenge that and not just swallow anything anymore. Question, ask, feel. Find your own truth in this matter. Don't just keep on following. Remember, the Piscean is the one of following.
I was just going to say that is living this new age that we are entering, because we the three of us were raised in a society, and not just a society, a world where we weren't allowed to question. There were a few. There were those few flowers that were opening in this field, and you know, we all know one or two people who were way before their time, but now more and more of us are becoming aware and questioning.
We have to wrap now.
It always happens when we're having the most fun.
But I love that we came here, and I'm saying this with humility, I'm willing to look at it and actually going and saying, yeah, you told me I'm not allowed to question, but we decided to come here and to remember who we are, you know. And so I think that's from that space where you can actually go like, I'm a little bit stubborn like that. Okay, Booker.
But you know, this is why we need the feminine to rebirth that. You know, to bring that. And if we can just look at the basic feminine qualities of, you know, that can receive, that can hold, that can contemplate, and can feel with care and love, and release anew. And this is where the cave becomes so important. We didn't even touch on that. The rebirthing caves in Africa here. That is done for exactly that purpose. And it's happening right now. They are rebirthing a new consciousness.
Simpiwe is going to hit all of us. We have to say goodbye now. That's why Shemaine is laughing. Because it's really, we're out of time. But thank you. It was really fun.
Thank you.
We might get you back a third time on Beyond Ears and Eyes to talk about those caves.
Wouldn't you like that?
Oh, yeah. We should actually go there. I'll bring images.
We'll take images.
I'll bottle that energy and bring it back.
It was fun, my friend. Thank you very much, Booker. Yo, thank you so much. I'm signing out. From me, Liesl Tom, have a great day.
And from me, Shemaine Harris, be good to yourself.
This is CliffCentral.com.